Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Kind of Funny Screencast. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes, and I'm joined by Big Daddy himself, Greg Miller.
Hello, Tim.
The Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
Good morning, everyone.
The producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Top of the morning to you, Tim.
How you doing, Nick?
I'm good. I got these little I got these little things right here for my eyeballs. Hello. My special power would be I could just fart out mini Reese's peanut butter cups whenever I want and stick them in my mouth.
I like it better when you're eyeballs? The coins for your eyes for the river sticks. I like that joke better.
Tim, set me up again, please.
Nick, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. I got these coins for the river sticks.
Oh, no, Nick passed away. Come back, Nick. We love you.
This, unfortunately, is the Kind of Funny Screencast, where each and every week we get together to talk about the latest in TV, movies, and trailers. Of course, you can get it on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. You can get it ad-free and watch live as we record it by going to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like our Patreon producers, Gordon McGuire, Molecule, and Fargo Brady have done. We appreciate all of you so very much. Today, we're brought to you by Shopify and Athletic Greens, but I'll tell you all about that later. I want to talk about the Herogasm episode of The Boys Season 3. I want to start off. It's rare that I do this, but I want to start off here. This was a Red Wedding level episode of television to me. And they hyped it up, and I wasn't sure exactly what they were hyping, but the last week, everyone involved with the show was like, this is the one to keep your eyes on. They had that warning message they put out saying that this wasn't appropriate for anyone. They were absolutely correct. I cannot believe the level of quality of this episode, of this show, that is already such a damn amazing show. I feel like we got movie-level fight scenes in this thing. We saw so many characters interact with deep, meaningful conversations that I never expected we would have got in the show, period, let alone multiple in the same episode. This one episode felt like three or four great episodes of some of my favorite TV shows. I cannot believe how much they did with their 1 hour runtime here of every single thing The Boys is good at, just 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10 across the board of every single thing they were doing. And how was this not the final episode of the season? How the hell is this not even the second to last episode? We still got a couple left. How is that possible? Andy Cortez, what'd you think?
I'm right there with you, man. This shocking in so many different ways. I think going into this episode, I did not expect the showdown that we had near the end of it. I expected all of the hype to just be for the crazy sex, you know, here at this orgy stuff. We're going to see a lot of boobs, a lot of butt and wieners, and a butthole, which didn't expect to see a butthole. But
they lingered on it, too.
Yeah, they lingered on it for sure. And that's the level of shock that I was expecting. Of course, you know, it's The Boys. You're going to get a couple of gory shots here and there. But I was not expecting that final showdown to actually happen here. Mm-hmm. And it delivered on every level. It was so awesome to watch Butcher get knocked down, get back up, surprise him. Here comes Huey. And yeah, legitimately, when you bring up Red Wedding, I'm that level of stress and I don't know, just the body heat. I feel like Soldier Boy, like I'm about to explode right now, because during that episode, I just felt like, God damn, dude, I can't take this level of stress right now. And I miss this. I haven't felt this about a TV show in a long time. And yeah, delivered on every level. Absolutely 10 out of 10.
Nicholas?
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you guys. Like, I love they called it Herogasm. That was the name of the episode, right? And it's an event, but it's also what the episode is. It's all the things you wanted to see happening in one episode, and then it doesn't end. It's not the last episode. Mm-hmm. I could have swore that the Homelander Soldier Boy showdown was they were going to build that up to the very, very last thing, and then there was going to be some sort of red herring, and Soldier Boy's going to be like, we've been brothers the entire time. But no, they gave you exactly what you wanted here. It was a great fight, and then you get that wonderful image of Homelander at the very end staring into the mirror, and we already know why he does that, because he's talking to his alter self, who's just like hyping him up, being like, you're better than everything. You know, that scene was great. I think we got a lot of great scenes. I think we got the A-Train scene in this, which was amazing. I think we got a lot more character development for Kimiko and Frenchie. I think I love where they're pushing her character in this, and I'm curious how they're going to get her her powers back, because I think she needs them. It's very just an awesome episode altogether, and I can't wait to see what Homelander does next, and see what how they square off against him, because you know he's going to come with fucking thunder.
Greg.
Yeah, I echo everything everybody said here. I mean, for me, as soon as it was over and credits started, the first thing I did was go to Google. I was like, was that the finale? Like, I thought there was more episodes than this, and thank God there are, because yeah, like, this feels like a season finale of having Homelander pinned down, having, like, you know, when you get out of here, Huey, no, not a fucking chance. I was like, oh shit, they're gonna, like, to sit there and be like, are they actually about to fucking do it and kill Homelander to have him get away? To have A-Train collapse in the road, to have Starlight, you know, literally phone it all in, right, on her Instagram page and be like, I'm fucking done, here's what's happening. Like, I thought, wow, what a fucking episode. And you want to talk about not being able to wait till next week, not, you know, wanting to know what happens. Like, again, 10 out of 10 episode. And I was right there with you of, like, when they were building it up and doing all the things and all the, even like the, you know, we were talking about, I think it was last week, all the episode descriptions are funny in universe kind of things, the way they built up Herogasm throughout the week, throughout the Instagram posts, Jensen making posts, you know, Jack Quaid making posts, Carl Urban making posts. I was like, all right, they're probably going over the top with it, but again, it was like not just the crazy sex happening all around, right, and the gigantic fucking cum shot on like it was in general just the plot threads coming together here and being fucking insane. I can't wait for next week.
The plot threads coming together, but also kind of like leading into new opportunities, right? I forget the name, but the person that pops people's heads, her whole
Victoria
scene, Victoria, yeah, her scene with Starlight was so damn good, of like her kind of setting up this new status quo with the two of them, of like, we could work together in this weird way, but like, there's just, it just kind of opens the possibilities of where her character can go, and definitely Starlight as well. But even her just being like, you know, it'd be hard to take you down, but not impossible, and walking away and her nosebleed a little. It's like, holy crap, this is so fucking good. I love that every conversation, it seems like the power dynamic shifts so violently between different characters on this show. And to have all the plot threads kind of reach their head in the most beautiful way in this episode, but then to also kind of even deepen what we think of some of these characters and their development, like MM, like his whole relationship with OCD, the way he's talking about that in this, and him facing off against Butcher and that whole situation with Soldier Boy. It was like, wow, I did not expect MM, who was one of my least favorite characters of the show, not because like he's not great, but just because everyone else is so much more elevated than him in terms of what they have to do. I think that this season has been his kind of like starring moment to really like find a rise where it's like, oh dude, now he's equal with everyone else. And that, especially with the Frenchie Kimiko storyline, that has been always a constant, and I feel like it was a real big season one kind of moment. And then I feel like it's kind of been on not cruise control, but like we didn't know what to expect from them for the last like couple, like season and a half. But their whole scene was so damn raw and real, especially after the last couple episodes of their emotional turmoil, to get this fucked up and just fucked up, man. I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, and that's it's Mother's Milk and those storylines have sort of been secondary, and I think they're coming to a head now, which is kind of cool. Like I think seeing MM sort of like have that moment where he faces off against Soldier Boy and is willing to die for it, and then having Starlight pulling back, but like, dude, we have to help these other people. You have another purpose in this life. Was super cool. And then having Kimiko realize, like, and this is what's fascinating, is we all know we want her to get her powers back, right? Because she's freaking the Wolverine. But having her realize that like the powers aren't what made her a monster. It's just the fact that she's a killer. I mean, she's been a killer. She's killed before to survive, and that's who she is. And it's not the powers that have done that to her. I think it's such a cool revelation. And my question is, like, is she now going to go on the path of being like, well, if I'm going to be a killer, if I am who I am and I'm accepting myself, I might as well have this awesome regenerative power where I can't die and I can go kill little Nina, because that's about to pop off like crazy. And kudos to that actress. I meant to look her name up, the one that plays the Russian gangster, Nina, but she's great. That whole squad is great.
Especially what a great scene that was. I think, you know, we jumped to Hero Guys and we jumped to Starlight stuff. The Frenchie Kimiko stuff has been so good throughout the season, let alone last week's episode with the kiss, then that. And then for this one to escalate, right? And when he comes in, they put him in the bike lock to the thing. I was like, oh my God. Like, it felt to me like when Last of Us Part 2 was happening, the early parts of that and the big stuff that happens in that game, where you're just sitting there sick to your stomach. Cause I'm like, I don't know how they're going to get out of this without, I don't know how they're going to get out of this unscathed. Like, I didn't know how, you know, Frenchie is going to have to watch somebody die, or even when Kimiko gets pinned down and he's just fucking wailing on her wound. I was like, oh my God, are they about to kill her? Like, I really, this is what I think so special about the show is that obviously you have the core cast of the boys, you have and then the Seven and Homelander. Like, I really do, even though it sounds goofy, I do feel like all of them are fair game. Like, they could have killed Kimiko here, and I would have been shocked, but I wouldn't have been like shocked. Like, you know how you watch certain things, like a Justice League cartoon or whatever, you know the Justice League isn't gonna die or whatever. Like, when Homelander's pinned down, I know he's not gonna get killed, but then there's this moment creeping in of like, are they about to fucking kill Homelander? Are they about to do it? And then, you know, they reinstate Soldier Boy as something even worse. Like, what the fuck's about to happen? And that was just so well played. This whole episode had me on the edge of my seat because I really didn't know what was about to happen.
There was a moment, I was going to say real quick, there was a moment at the very end where Starlight's doing her speech where I'm sitting there kind of like flinching, like waiting to see if her head pops.
Something, I just meant,
Yeah, but like, I could totally see that happening, and it's wild. Totally. Like, what a good show.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to call out the actual Homelander fight too with Soldier Boy, because my expectation was gonna be like, oh, they're gonna match up, but it was pretty quickly like, oh no, Homelander's way more powerful than these guys are, and it took three of them to at least hold him down. But I thought that was really well done, because for a second you're like, oh, he's fighting him, but it would be like if Captain America fought Superman. You're like, first maybe he holds his own, or when Captain America fought Thanos. You're like, this is kind of cool for a second, but you know it's only a matter of time before.
Yeah, this Captain America can like do a nuclear blast out of his chest. So I don't know if it's exactly one to one.
Well, but yeah, but he can't really control that, right? Like, he can't. I mean, he kind of sort of can, but that's like his rage. Yeah. When the rage.
Well, I was thinking he was warming up to use it there against Homelander.
I think of it as like a burp. You can kind of do it on your own. Sometimes it just happens, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and I do want to say, hey, I don't do this often. Pat on the back to me. For being like, no, the Homelander Butcher conversation happened, and y'all being like, no, that was in Butcher's head, yada yada, blah blah blah. Yeah, and then Homelander shows up, and this one is like, Butcher, we had an agreement, we're gonna fight to the death one day.
I noticed that too, and I thought that was
you, Tim,
weird.
Fuck you, Tim. Fuck you.
It's weird, man.
Fuck you, Tim.
Andy, I don't know what side you're on, but join in with me.
I was on Tim's side because it
doesn't matter. Join me. Fuck you. Fuck you. It's fun. See, if you're at home, do it. If you're driving, keep both hands on the wheel.
I was pretty shocked by that as well. Like, I legitimately thought that was a scene that played out in his head, because, you know, it's not like the Homelander can just, he's not Batman. He never really leaves scenes like that. He always shoom, fucking flies out in a very dramatic fashion.
He's showing you something else he can do. You know, he's showing
how
you something.
How did he talk on the TV then?
Yeah.
It was a different thing.
It's weird. It's a different thing, Tim. It's a different thing. I do want to.
Andy, before you do that though, let me tell you about our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Athletic Greens. I've been using AG1 the last few months because I figured it was well past time I start thinking about vitamins, but I'm usually not the biggest fan of their format. So being able to drink a flavored water is much more up my alley. And I'm a huge fan here of the fact that it doesn't taste super healthy. It kind of has like this mild tropical taste to it that I look forward to every morning. With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. It's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/kindoffunny. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/kindoffunny to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily
daily nutritional insurance, athleticgreens.com/kindoffunny. This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved only for big businesses to everyone. So upstarts, startups, established businesses, content creators alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. I love how Shopify has the tools and resources that make it easy for any business to succeed, from down the street to across the globe. Our content creator friends use Shopify to manage all their merch sales and stuff. And I recently got Gia a pair of Allbirds from the Allbirds website, which also uses Shopify. So that's an example of big websites using Shopify for their sales. You can gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting on conversion rates, profit margins, and to help you supercharge your knowledge of your sales and your success. You can go to shopify.com/kfgames, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial, and you can get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/kfgames right now. That's shopify.com/kfgames for a free 14-day trial. shopify.com/kfgames.
Go for it, Andy.
The A-Train sequence. I don't want to say like this man redeemed himself. Still a pretty terrible person.
For sure.
But I think he's dead. I don't think he just collapsed. Like, I do think that that was the way to kind of write him out and the way to kind of get him out of the show in a way that feels satisfying, because we see that initial meeting that he has with the PR lady, I forget her name, Ashley, and her finally sticking up to him and him not really fighting back, which that was a great sequence, by the way, her being like, I just said this out loud. I can't believe that I finally stood up to a soup and said how I feel, because this job is hell.
Yeah.
And to sort of have him have this sort of introspective moment there was surprising to me. And then when Huey walks up to him there at the Herogasm, it's just like, Huey, not now, man. What are you doing? Not now.
But he's got that fucking roid rage, making him feel like he can do anything in the world. I loved that.
He is so roid raged, but we get another moment of, you know, like this man actually does feel bad. He finally understands what it feels like now after his family member got completely destroyed by Blue Hawk, and now he gets it, and he sees what can happen to a family and what soups can do. And I wasn't expecting any sort of thing to be resolved in this episode, much like I wasn't expecting the fight scene at the end. So in a way, it felt like 1% forced to walk out of that place. Everybody's on fire. Everybody's dead. They just had a nuclear bomb go off outside in Soldier Boy's chest or whatever. And for him to be like, Blue Hawk, and even Blue Hawk's like, dog, what are you doing? Not right now. Like, there's a psychopath and they're ready to kill all of us.
Killing everybody, yeah.
And I it was just awesome as hell to finally see him confront that. And yeah, I do think he's dead, because we've known the consequences. We've known that if he runs fast again, his heart is so screwed up from all those drugs, and he's going to die. And I really do think that he is dead, and it wasn't just a collapse sort of moment. At least I hope he's dead. I think that's kind of a good way to write him out.
I'm with you on that too, and I think that he is, and I think it's kind of the best possible ending for this character, because he's done so much irredeemable bad shit that we've seen, that, like, to Nick's point that he always makes, it's like characters, once they cross a certain line, it's like they cannot be redeemed. And I think that what happened here is him being redeemed in our eyes as much as possible, but he still needs to die. Like, he still needs those kind of like ramifications of everything. And to Greg's point earlier about everything feels like it's on the line, like anything can happen to any of these characters, that's so impressive for the show, because unlike shows like Game of Thrones or Walking Dead, it's not killing off main characters willy-nilly, right? Like, our core cast has essentially been here from day one. There's been a couple like potential near misses, and like, we thought A-Train had died in like season one. Like, there was like moments of like people thinking people were dead, then they ended up being okay. So to get this far into it and to see the confrontation between Blue Hawk and A-Train, and once he starts running, it's like, we all know, it's like, oh, you can't do this. It's like, you're about to kill him and suicide. Like, this is like your final fucking action. I was like, damn, man, they earned this moment in a way that I just would have never seen coming. But I do think it's like such a great use of their trust that they've built with us in terms of how they treat their main characters, and that anyone can die, but they're only going to die when it really, really, really makes sense and is like a final like cherry on the top of their storyline.
I was hoping he was going to body like a skateboard on the body. Like,
oh my God.
Really?
That was so disgusting.
Dragged him for like 300 miles until he was just a pulp of like a foot left. That wasn't enough for you?
Jesus, it was so bad, man. Like,
that was so brutal.
I don't know. I don't think I'll ever get over the amount of gore in this show. Like, I'll never kind of get past it and get to a point where I'm desensitized to it, because it just keeps on finding ways to amp itself up, and it's always shocking.
I want to segue over to just talking about Huey and Starlight, because I feel like this was like the final pin in their relationship. I feel like this was a breakup at the end, right?
Yeah.
Where the subtext of him talking to her, her being like, "You said you were okay with it." He's like, "I'm not okay with it sometimes. Like, it's not okay with me. I want to be."
But then he like dialed it down, and I loved her just being like, "Man, I thought it was the V that was making you this way." But it really, the V is just, it's what they said earlier, right? I think last episode, right? Of like, the V, temporary V, is really, it's like, you know, super serum, right? It's just bringing out what's already inside of you.
Yeah. I thought it was really well done. I feel like their relationship arc, as much as they, when we started off, I was like, oh, I really want this to work. I'm like, I think this has just run its course. You got to go your separate ways. Yeah. She's heading toward being sort of like the poster person for reform in the superhero community, and he's become an assassin, which is crazy to think. Like, there's that moment where she's like, this guy's gonna kill a lot of people. He's like, nah, it's not gonna go like that. And so it's like, yes it is. What the hell do you think is gonna happen? He's gonna explode in this whole house. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. He took the entire, you know, first two floors off the floor or off the house. So pretty fascinating to see her. I mean, and shout out to Erin Moriarty for like just having that great character transition where she's like, I've just hit such a level of not caring or destitute that I just, the only thing I could do is tell the truth and turn the phone on. And I thought that was a great way to end the episode.
100%. Yeah.
And another thing that I love about this, and this has been true for the entire show run, but I feel like just keeps getting better and better, is like for this episode to kind of nail all of its like bigger moments and the fight scenes and the confrontations that we've been waiting for and all that stuff. But then also to still do the great kind of, it's not mixed media, but like mixed style things of like doing the old movie footage of Soulja Boy and like them watching it with the twins and like them doing their thing. Like, I love how last episode had a musical section and this episode had that. Sure. And a couple episodes singing ago, Imagine. there's the singing Imagine.
What a great bit talk that about was. That.
But like that whole thing with all the celebrity cameos, like I love that this show is just, its world is so well realized that like constantly it's those fun moments that don't feel like it's breaking the world of the show or how we're enjoying it. But then also like every single piece of merchandise being related to Vought somehow, like Vada Burger being a thing that Soulja Boy's eating in the beginning, or like there's the Pride Maeve popsicles. It's like, damn, man, like the production design of this show is like, it's just such on a different level, man.
Yeah. Where do we feel like Black Noir went? Do we feel like he is in the wind, or do you think he's got something going on? I loved that scene where he's like, I'm glad I got you. And he's like,
the elevator
cuts his tracker out. He's just, he's just out, man. That was an elevator. It's just a bang up job of being like, just
horrified.
Yeah. I've been thinking about this, and I totally forgot. I want to rewatch the last episode of the animated show, The Boys Present Diabolical, because I remember that was the one that was canon to the show, and it involved Black Noir.
Yeah, he read his little note for Homelander or whatever when they're about to fight.
Yeah. What's the top level pitch on that, just to refresh my memory?
That's essentially Homelander's first mission, and it goes poorly.
Yeah.
You want me to spoil the rest of it?
Yeah, spoiler.
Yeah,
we're already
spoiled. Yeah, so then the next step is Black Noir. Homelander thinks he's going to have to kill Black Noir. He looks at Black Noir, and Black Noir kind of lets him know that, like, it's okay. Like, we're just going to cover this all up.
Mm-hmm. So gotcha. Okay. Yeah. That's what I remember. I remember when we edited watching it, we were just like, oh fuck, I totally forgot what this world is. And now I feel like I'm way more in the world.
Sure, that makes sense. I have no idea. Like part of me wonders, is this a, like, I don't know how the episode ended and when the last time in the episode we heard from Black Noir. I obviously feel like he's way too important of a character to just kind of use that as a way to let him escape. I do think that maybe that's just a way to throw us off the scent and try to get us to forget about him for a bit. And then maybe he comes in for one big, heroic moment, you know?
I think he kills Soldier Boy or something.
I think they did two really interesting things. One, introducing, like, not introducing, but, like, having that moment where Anthony Starr, like, almost breaks down when he finds out that Black Noir ran away.
Yeah.
Like, that was, I feel like that was some really solid acting. And, like, for a moment, you're so like, good. Oh, my God. Like, Homelander, like, thinks that one of his best friends just betrayed him. And then the other thing is the
twins. His only friend.
Yeah. The twins just completely blamed Black Noir. They straight up said that he was the mastermind of everything going on, which out of everyone from Payback, the only person that's still involved with Vought on a like hero level
Black Noir
is Black Noir. So I wonder if Black Noir has been pulling the strings to get his agenda moving forward. And yeah, things didn't pan out with half his face fucking melting.
Yeah, there were some people in my Twitch chat last night that were like, well, it's also a great scapegoat because he doesn't talk. So like, it's an easy kind of way to just pin it on somebody. But goddamn, like, I'm just so fascinated by whatever the ramifications of this whole thing are going to be. And again, man, that fight scene was just so, so damn intense. Like, that level of sort of Game of Thrones feeling of like anybody right now could die, and they don't, and I don't care. I don't feel like it's a cop out. It's just, it's done well enough that like I trust them to make a good, satisfying show.
And on top of that, it was satisfying when it was Captain America versus Superman. Holy shit, we're actually getting it, and they're making it feel right. And then we get Butcher involved, and you're like, oh fuck, I thought if they maybe for the rematch, it's like, no, they're doing it here. And then Huey gets involved. It's like, yo, you just jumped from like Iron Man 1 to fucking Avengers like so quickly. And it was awesome. And it was all kind of built up, and Huey teleporting goes from being goofy to badass, but still being goofy. It's just like this perfect blend of like growing with these characters.
Yeah, I love that shot with Carl Urban fighting him, where Carl Urban just like, he knows he just wants to fucking get it on.
He's got the bloody mouth and stuff, smiling
through it. Yeah,
that was awesome. That was like,
I just want to fuck this guy up.
When he had the bloody mouth smiling while he's fighting, I was like, oh man, Shades of Green Goblin from No Way Home. Right? Where I was like, oh yeah, this is what he's wanted forever, and he's getting it. And I loved, you know, Homelander's reaction. I'm like, how are you doing this? Like, how are you still alive or whatever? What's going on? Like,
Kevin,
I love catching them off guard like that.
Oh, just one more thing with the Black Noir. Like what you were saying, Andy, like, it's really easy to use that as a scapegoat, but it also is really interesting to think that someone like that could be pulling the strings and then no one suspect them because they seem so much like a quiet, unassuming character. Yeah. The idea that Vought can see everything out of his eyes kind of changed perspective if suddenly he's trying to control them by showing them different things, you know?
Well, it's curious also, like we haven't seen from Edgar. We haven't heard anything from him since he was sort of like ousted, and you know he's coming back. You know there's something back there. I remember he was the guy originally running that team, so he's got to be ultimately responsible for some of this, if not all of it. I'm not sure if there was like, I'm curious to see where that's going to go, because Esposito has to come back into this to some degree.
I mean, we have 2 hours left this season. Like, that's wild to me. You think it's this much episode to episode, like two fucking more of what we just got right now left.
But what a great way to set it up, because it kind of reminds me of, have you guys ever seen The Usual Suspects? And there's that great moment where Chaz Palminteri is like, if you saw Kaiser Soze, why didn't you pull the trigger? He's like, how do you shoot the devil? And what do you do if you miss? And it's that terrifying moment where it's like, they just missed the devil. They had, that was their chance. What is Homelander going to do now? Because they're not going to get that chance again. He's not, you know, he's going to come back.
Next time he's going to come in super fast. Yeah.
Yeah. That yell from him when he's on the ground of just pure rage and anger and fear almost. Like, I got to get the fuck out of here.
Ugh. That was probably the first time he's ever been overpowered physically, you know? And then also the end, where he's just sitting there, looking at his bruise. Like, again, he was just hyping himself up, being like, you are marble. And suddenly now he's got a bruise on his fucking face.
This damn show.
This show's so fucking... Yeah. Not to mention when he's talking to himself in the mirror before the fight, right? Not the end there. Like, I felt for him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I hate Homelander. Like, he's a horrible fucking person, soup, whatever. And I watch him in that thing, and I'm like, fuck, dude, I wish I could give him a hug. I wish there was somebody there that was, like, normal to talk to him. And, like, I mean, granted, at this point, you get your face melted off at some point by him, but shit, yeah, man, what a fucking show.
That's happened so many times in every season with him. And I like to apologize to everyone. I've been calling him Anthony Starr for the longest time. Kevin just blew my brain. It's Anthony.
Joss! Joss.
But yeah, but Anthony Starr, like, just does such a great job of even playing the most twisted, fucked up, evil character, but giving you that little kernel of sympathy for him, which makes him so compelling, because you're like, you do kind of feel like he's built all this armor up around himself. He's also very psychotic, but he's got all these things from, like, this childhood trauma and all this crap. And he's a psychopath and all that's built in. But then he just got his ass beat and it's kind of sad. You're like, oh, okay. But he's going to come back with a fire.
That Smeagol Gollum scene was fantastic.
Yeah, that was really good. That was really good. A lot better done than in that one movie you like, Andy.
Yeah, it's won a lot of awards.
I mean, real time, it was a better version of the Green Goblin Spider-Man 1 situation, trilogy situation. But I love that this show can use our knowledge of those things and make those illusions and kind of be like, fill in the gaps and make them even better. And like another version of that is like Soldier Boy being Captain America, but also kind of being Winter Soldier, it seems like, with the way that he's exploding and all this stuff. Like, I just love how much they play with our knowledge of other comic books and other superheroes, but then kind of have that level of parody, level of satire, but then on top of it, it's this beautiful bow of just it all connects and works, because this alone is a great story with great characters.
Yeah, it's funny though, because Homelander, if you notice, every season Homelander has to have that person to bounce off of. In the first season, it was Elizabeth Shue's character. Then we got Stormfront, and now he has no one left in his life to be the sympathetic, like, person that can tell him he's great. So it's just himself now. It's just that his reflection in the mirror that's doing that, which is so sad on so many levels.
Well, I think an important thing to note is, like, I don't think that that's new, right? Like, that person was like, yeah, I got you through the padded room, right? Is what he said, I think.
Yeah, so. When he was a kid or whatever.
When he was a kid, yeah.
The Stranger Things room where he was born in. Oh man, Stranger Things coming back. We got a lot of good stuff to look forward to. A
lot of good stuff to look forward to here on the Kinda Funny Screencast. Of course, we will be reacting to the next two episodes of The Boys and so much more. Miss Marvel, Kenobi's all wrapped up. You can check out our thoughts over youtube.com/kindafunny or your favorite podcast service. Search for Screencast. Till next time, let us know in the comments below what you thought of Herogasm. I love you all. Goodbye.
Woo!